Okay, I'll do it right. They got more wires up here today. Got the Ken and Walker family, and I sure don't want to get their wires tangled up. I got the instruments. I see one of them I might could play on. See that rubbing board? How many of you remember those as kids? They were bigger though, right? And that's where Mama scrubbed the clothes. And truthfully, they got them cleaner, I think. Okay, open your Bibles to the book of Jude. We're still in it. We're probably going to be in another time or two. I could wrap it up, but it is packed full. Little book next to the book of Revelation. Of course, it covers our time and really takes us on in, probably to the very end of the tribulation period. If you don't know what that means if the Lord Jesus were to come for the saved today, we believe the tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble, when God deals with Israel about who the Messiah is, that would, I believe, happen real quick. Could be a little gap there, but I believe most Bible students believe that once the rapture takes place, that'll pretty much be the time that the tribulation period. Now, it won't start off as bad as it will get. It'll probably start off, according to the book of Revelation chapter 6, with a white horse rider who's not Jesus, but the fake Jesus, the counterfeit, the Antichrist, and the deceiver. We're in the age now, I've often spoke of it as being the great age of deception. Every way you turn today, deception's after you. And it'll fool you if you're not very careful. And of course, when it comes to spiritual things, you better be on guard today. Bible warned us as we studied 1 John to try the spirits to see if they be of God. And many false prophets, that's where it says it, try the spirits, see if they be of God, because many false prophets have gone out in the world. That tells you that the false prophet has a false spirit within him. He is being guided by the wrong spirit. Well, in the book of Jude, short book, 608 words, but oh, how packed full it is. We have covered down, and I'm going to back up a little bit on purpose, because I realized as I was going through, we could just park on it forever, because it alludes to so much else that's in the Bible. You don't really need a commentary necessarily. That's okay if you got a good one, but the Bible is its own commentary, especially when it comes to the book of Jude, as it references so many events already recorded in the Bible that throws light on the time we're living in. And I believe it's the setting of Jude would fit right now with the days we are having, days of corruption. Obviously, we're near in the tribulation period where corruption and evil will reach its maximum under the Antichrist, under the mark of the beast, and all that we know that's coming. We covered through the area here where it references Sodom and Gomorrah. And then when we get to verse 8 here, the verse I want to start on again this morning, just to pick a couple of words out for you. Verse 8 says, likewise, these filthy dreamers. Now, likewise takes us back to the homosexual age of Sodom and Gomorrah, the evil time that we are seeing now. Folks, can you believe how they're in your face today? Did anybody see on the news where right there on the White House lawn, at the front of the White House where they hung the flags up, three columns, American flag on one, American flag on the other, but in the middle, just as big and just as high, was the gay flag on the White House. Now, we remember under President Obama that he was the first one to decorate the White House in the gay colors. And, of course, that's been done some more since. But we've been supposedly, and Brother Parsons hit it last week, and I did. Any preacher, just if you're going to read the Bible and apply it, you're going to have to apply it to the days we're living in and see what fulfillment is going on. But it's amazing. We had Gay Pride Month. And I heard, and some of you may can correct me, I heard that maybe our school board is not going in Polk County to observe Gay Day. Now, right here in Lakeland, these last few days, they've had the gay festival over there. And down Seaburn Wise and some other places, going on big, celebrating evil, celebrating corruption, celebrating filth. And that's what the Bible here calls them, filthy dreamers. That's what it says. So I'm not out of line there at all. And time of the sex perversion. By the way, it kind of backfired. The president was out there celebrating on the lawn with the so-called gay crowd, and they were dancing. And then the one woman stripped off from the waist up, right? Well, the cameras quickly tried to blot it out, but the folks that were there in person saw it all. I understand now they've made her apologize since. Now that made it all right, didn't it? What a sick bunch. I mean sick. But Jude is right here talking about that stuff. Filthy dreamers. And I want you to look at verse 8 with me. I know we've been through it, and I parked on a word or two, but I'm going to go back on another one. The Lord kind of laid this thought on my heart. I couldn't hardly get by it. Look at it in verse 8. Likewise, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Okay, we understand that. We're seeing that all the time. But here's two words it would be easy to pass over, not think much about. And I want to think about them here just a little bit with you this morning. Despise dominion. Two words, despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. Now, I covered that speaking evil of dignities because the next verse tells you not to even speak evil of Satan that way, that he's got more power than we think. And a lot of times, folks, we probably mess up there. I'm not going to rehash that. Covered it pretty well. But I want you to look at these two words just a moment. Despise dominion. Now, to despise something. How many of you understand as kids we despise some things? Now, that was childish stuff. Was there a particular food mama made you eat you didn't like? Huh? Was it spinach or something else we could talk about, but you had to eat it? So you tried to eat it first to get it over with so you could enjoy the rest of the meal. Anybody been there? Sure. So we know what despising was. We didn't like it, but it means we really didn't like it. It wasn't just a matter of choice. It was something we didn't like. Anybody ever have a particular medicine you didn't like to swallow? I never did like to swallow milk of magnesia. It had a tendency to want to come back out my nose every time I tried to swallow it. I hated that stuff. And so we understand a little bit about despise, don't we? So this is a strong word here. It says as a group, they're filthy dreamers. They defile the flesh and they despise dominion. You say, well, is it all that bad? Well, it might be worse than you think if you really, really check it out. Despise. That means a hatred that you actually take an action against it. You do something against it. You're aggressive against it. You despise it. You'll stomp on it. You'll step on it. You'll throw it away. You throw it in the garbage, so to speak. You despise that. That sort of thing. My mother said when I was growing up as a kid, they called me nicey nasty. Anybody ever hear that? Mama would fuss at me about being much that way, and yet she was very much that way, I'm telling you. If something fell on the floor, it went in the garbage. It didn't get picked up. I don't care if it was there just a minute. That was no good. When she'd get lunch getting ready, or we didn't call it lunch in those days. We called it dinner. It was breakfast, dinner, and supper. And that's Bible, by the way. You ever hear of the last dinner? Huh? You've heard of the last supper, right? So that's Bible, all right. Anyway, when she started getting the table set and everything ready, my brother and I knew we'd better get the fly flip. And if there was a fly in the house, and on the farm it was easy to have flies in the house, like some of the restaurants today, but we had to get the fly flip and hunt down the last fly, or we couldn't eat lunch till we got him. We didn't sit there and fan him off. We got up and got him, brother, because that's what mama demanded. So we're kind of raised in that kind of a atmosphere. So we understand the word despise. Now, it says there's a group here that despises dominion. Now, let's understand, that don't sound like such a bad word, but what we're seeing today is an attack on everything godly, everything that God stands for. We're seeing these filthy dreamers, the world, against it. Well, you think about it, right? I saw in the news this week where one of the schools or school board or something out in the state of Utah, and I don't know much about Utah, but they had banned the Bible out of the library. See, that's an attack on God. You're seeing that everywhere. They had a Satanist meeting up in Boston. Big crowd of them, thousands out in the street. And they took the Bible and they tore pages out of it in that rally. And I think there was a couple of Christians that went and tried to pick the pages up and got beat up over it. I believe that's the way I heard the story. That's despising and attacking something that represents God. The attack on real churches today, churches that are right ought to be representing God. Bible representing God. And so Christians, whether you like it or not, and too many Christians have gotten really quiet. They're afraid they're going to be discovered to be a Christian. Something really sick about that, isn't it? But Christianity is under attack. You've heard ex-President Trump say that. You've heard some others, conservatives, saying that anything Christian is under attack. And it's more than attack. It's a despising. It's hating it is what we're talking about. This gender attack that we're seeing today, listen, God's the creator of the genders. He made them male and female. Is it any wonder they're despising the gender and everybody's got to get their own pronouns? I got some pronouns I would not want to pronounce against some of those that are despising the things of God. But what a joke. How ridiculous it is. But isn't that current news? We're reading it right out of the Bible here. We know what's going on and the Bible's ahead of it, way ahead of it. And the attack on anything godly. Now, here's the truth, folks. We recognize Satan is behind that. If you dig a little bit, if you go back to Satan's start, what did he do? He despised dominion. He didn't want to be under God's dominion. So Isaiah 14, he tried to place his throne above God's throne. In his pride, and God brought him down. And still, it's the warfare the devil has got going from the Garden of Eden on today. His start, well, we read about him when he showed up as the serpent to beguile Eve in the garden, and there's a lot of supposition and a lot of theory. I don't know if you've been hearing some of the far out stuff. It's even crept into a little bit into the news. We had the asteroid in the news a little bit this last week. We have some other stuff that's throwing some question marks on things, but this is supposition. I'm not saying this is true. I'm just telling you what I have noticed. Do you know, they go back to the Garden of Eden and they say, and it's a possibility, Satan may have been in charge before Adam was created. Adam took dominion. Some of you looking skeptical, go to Genesis chapter 1. We'll go back to the beginning. You ought to be able to find that pretty quick, hadn't you? I mean, we're just getting right back to the beginning. I think about the lawyer that came before the judge to argue a case. He said, "Now, judge, I'm going way back to the beginning to start." Judge said, "How about moving it up right after the flood?" Court's crowded today. How much time? Look at it with me in Genesis chapter 1. Pick it up and you'll find the word in verse 26. Verse 26, Genesis 1. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now, you want to see where the evil crowd, the satanic crowd is coming? They hate that. They hate it that man's made in the image of God. Now, I know the fall came after that and so on. But notice what it says. Make man in our image after our likeness. You know, that tells me God's not a God with six arms or eight legs. We understand man's made in his likeness. Says, now watch this, and let them, now plural, the word them is plural, So here in God's creation, he's talking about, he's creating both of them, Adam and Eve. Now, go back and give us the detail here. But them means more than one. So he says, let them have what? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, you know who hates that verse, hates that truth, that verse gives us? The environmental, tree-hugging, animal-worshipping liberal today. Man does have dominion, whether you like it or not. God gave it. When I was over in Germany a long time back with one of our missionaries, we rode by a nice-looking lake. And I said to him, how's the fishing in that lake, you reckon? And he said, oh, you don't fish around here. I said, why? He said, because it'd be against the law. I said, why? Is it polluted? Oh, no, he said. He said, you didn't pay enough for a license, and then you go to school to learn how to fish, and you get a degree to learn how to fish. I said, what in the world? He said, oh, yeah. He said, it's pretty costly. The time you got to fish out of that lake, it costs you a lot. I said, well, what would they teach you in the school? Brother Chris, he said, they'd teach you how to get along in case another fisherman's out there. I thought, nuts. He said, then you wind up with a little kit when you graduate, like a little tool kit. In that tool kit, you got a little hammer and a little tag. And he said, when you catch a fish, you have to hit him with a little hammer within so many minutes between the eyes to give him an honorable, painless death. That missionary got through explaining. I said, are you joking with me? He said, no, I'm telling you, that's what it would take to go out in that lake and fish. Now, that's carrying this environmental, animal-loving crowd that they're nuts. But they hate God's dominion. They hate the fact God gave dominion to man, that man is over the creation of God here. And God itemizes it. He talks about the fish and the creeping things. Got control of that. You see on TV, you see the animal worshipers. Most of that is fake. You see where they make the sad looking little dogs crying in the pen. And oh, don't you feel sorry for them? But they don't show you the babies being murdered. They don't show you that. And I'm not for mistreating the dogs and cats and so on unless one gets in my way. But anyway. Anyway. You know what I'm talking about. Worshiping the creature more than the creator is where we have arrived. But I was reading some stats the other day. Now, they want you to give so much money per month to take care and rescue all these dogs and it's penned up and all the animals that's being mistreated. And I'm kind of an animal lover. I kind of like them on the plate next to my peas and my... All right, I'm playing with you now. But the truth is... I saw a stat where all the money they take up to take these little crying dogs out of the pens and take care of them, how the millions of money they take up, they actually spend less than 1% on doing what they claim they're going to do with it. Something's crooked. Something's corrupt. And under the guise, that's the way you fool people. So if you got your checkbook out and wrote, I'm not against it, but I'm just going to tell you it didn't go for what you thought it did. Not at all. And once in a while, the truth breaks out. I like that. But Satan in the garden appeared as a serpent. Now I want to tell you something. When he first appeared, he had legs. Read the Bible. Part of the curse was when God started the serpent crawling on his belly. And some say that you can still, on certain snakes, see where little indications on the belly where they might have had little legs. I don't know about that. I just know he had legs because that was part of the punishment. God took them away. You know what happened there. You know what happened in the garden. Of course, when he showed up and beguiled Eve, and then she went to Adam, and Adam listened to her, and he knew what he was doing, but he defied God. And then God showed up, and they all began to make excuse, remember? You remember what Adam said? It's this woman you gave me. God, indirectly, it's your fault. You gave her to me. Right? And what did Eve say? Well, it was the serpent that beguiled me. What did the serpent say? Well, he didn't have a leg to stand on. He couldn't say nothing. I'm playing with you now. I'll get serious here again in a minute. Some of you didn't get that know-how. Truth of the matter is, there's a crowd that believes that Satan was probably in charge. And some of them today that believe in the, not the illegal aliens, we've got a lot of that, but the aliens, supposedly from outer space, they think they were, and you hear some of those crazy stories today that these creatures showed up and they were reptile looking. And so they make the argument that part of those aliens out there that we are yet going to have to face and deal with are reptilian, and they come from the satanic race that was in control in the Garden of Eden before God took their dominion away and gave it to Adam. Now, that didn't cost you nothing, and it's probably worth nothing. But I'm saying to you, the age of deception is on us, and it is piling up with all kind of assertions and assumptions going on today. But we recognize Satan. His start was in Isaiah 14. He fell out of heaven trying to put his throne above God. We understand that. Now, I want you to consider the word dominion just a little bit more here with me. Dominion today, given to man by God, is hated by the humanistic crowd. See, the humanistic crowd believes that man is the master of his own destiny. They are in rebellion against dominion, the dominion of God over their lives, over this world. And they despise it, and they hate it. That's why the issues today, even when we get into politics, it's the issues you need to pay attention to. Instead, everybody's paying attention to personalities. And talk about dominion. One political party wants dominion over another. I'd like to say to the Republican Party, it don't matter who gets the glory, just get in office and straighten the mess out. I'd like to say to our governor and ex-president Trump, y'all get along and go up there and fight the real enemy. That'd be my advice to them. They hadn't called and asked for it yet, though. Expect to call any day. All right. Humanism, hating the dominion of God. That's what it amounts to. But God gave dominion to man over creation. And we see this hatred showing up everywhere. But dominion was given to us by God. And it's in nature. I'm saying a few light-hearted things. Mama used to trick me, get me to take bad-tasting medicine by putting sugar in it. And when I'm dropping a little something on you once in a while, I sweeten it up if I can. or try to a little bit. But in nature, God has dominion set up. He has a rule of order, a pecking order. We sometimes use a little modern slang on it today. You ever see a wild herd of horses running out through the valley? Yeah. You see a stallion leading them? Sorry, ladies, but that's a man. Horse. That's God's order. How many of you know that? How many of you have chickens or used to have chickens or you know what chickens are before they're laid out in Publix? Amen. Real chickens. Amen. You know what they are? How many of you know there is a pecking order among chickens? Have you ever watched that? As kids, my brother and I, we studied it. We found out that the rooster is the boss. Do you know that? Somebody said that when a man gets married, he'll either rule the rooster or he'll fly the coop. He's got a lot of rooster in him. You understand what I'm saying? There's an order. God gave the dominion order. My brother and I used to see roosters fight when the adults were not around. We'd catch a rooster from one pen and throw him in the other pen, and feathers would fly. See, one of them's going to be the boss. One of them's going to have dominion. That's in nature. You did understand that, don't you? Ladies, do y'all understand? Well, I want to tell you something. God set the order. You can despise the order if you want to. You get it backwards, it don't work. It's all kind of problems. Now, we see man copying that. I mean, you go in the military, you got the rank and so forth. You got to have it. You got to have. Everybody can't be boss. Part of our trouble in the world is everybody wants to be the boss. Somebody's got to be the chief. You can't all be Indians without a chief, and everybody can't be the chief. God set that order up, and it goes all through nature. You pick out any insect group, or you pick out the birds or the animals, you're going to find that to be true. Now, when this verse says they despise dominion, what is being despised today? God's dominion is being despised. That's why they're mixing up the genders. God made male and female. No, we rebel against that. We don't want God to be the boss and tell us what is right. So a sign of the end time corruption that we're dealing with today comes from these two words, despising dominion. You see it everywhere that you want to look. And we can see God put dominion in the human race. You ever notice the kids, they all want to be first? A struggle there. Somebody said two little six-year-old boys, two of them was on the same tricycle. And as they went by, mother heard one of them say, "If one of us would get off, I could ride this thing better." Very few says you first. Most of the time it's me first. And that's human nature. And it's even accented more so in our fallen nature. Now, despising dominion. Don't want God to dominate my life. I don't want him to tell me what's right and wrong. And I heard one lady say this. Somebody said, "Well, God wouldn't be pleased." She said, "Well, I'll wait till he tells me that face to face." What a joke. What a joke. But that's the attitude that we see in the rebellion that's going on today. Hate the Bible. Why? Because they know immediately the Bible correctly taught rebukes the lifestyle they're living. So they don't like that. Don't like that dominion. Don't like for God to be boss. And we just trace it through anything you want to today. And yet, to have order out of chaos, you have to have dominion. You have to have a structure of order. Today, the movement against law and order is the same thing. As we see the buildings burn and the cop cars destroyed and all that thing that we saw and still see in places, that's at its very root is rebellion against dominion. And when you trace dominion back, it's to God. It's dominion. Now, when you read Psalms 2, you find out when the Lord Jesus comes back, God's going to set him a throne on top. The heathen are going to rage about it, the Bible says. Why do the heathen rage? They're going to rage. It's the same thing of rebelling against God that you find all the way through the Bible. But when Jesus comes back and sits on David's throne and rules and reigns for 1,000 years, that's dominion. That's the second advent. You and I are looking forward to him coming for the church, the saved, and taking them up. Yes, fine. But God's interest is when he takes dominion and sits on the throne and becomes King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, what did they say when they crucified Jesus? "We will not have this man rule over us." You see there? But he is going to rule over us. He is going to rule over his creation. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you heard me say it so many times, the modern political world today fears theocracy. They fear Christians because Christians would like to run our lives by the rules of the Bible. Well, whether you like it or not, that's going to happen one day when Jesus comes back and takes his rightful place on the throne. In the meantime, what is man doing? You say, a lot of threat, preacher, about man blowing the world up and all. Yeah, they may do a big part of it. What's it about? Who's going to dominate? Which nation? Who's going to push the nuclear button first? That sort of thing. You say, could humans be so dumb that just one to rule over another, they'd blow the whole world up? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They've done some awful stuff before, haven't they? I mentioned here the other day, and I'm out of time now, but I mentioned here the other day that I preached a sermon several times, updated through the years, on the doomsday clock or the atomic clock. And when I first sermon I probably preached on that, I was probably a youth leader, and it was probably the clock was set at about 11:30, 30 minutes to doomsday, 30 minutes. Because ever since the nuclear age, Billy Graham and other preachers preached about the danger of the nuclear age, and kids were taught in school to hide under their desks. That would do no good, of course, but like a lot of the other stupid stuff. Anyway, the Atomic Magazine ever so often would come out and it would update. A time or two it backed the clock up from midnight, but most of the time it kept edging toward midnight. And I probably, the last sermon I preached, it was probably about 4 minutes to midnight, and that's probably been a couple of years ago. Midnight being doomsday, when the nations go crazy and start shooting their missiles and exploding and blowing up the world and all that. Dr. Lee back there this week gave me this copy. I guess it's a copy probably around the front page of the Atomic Clock, which I haven't seen in a long time. Got about five people standing here. Looking very serious. This picture here is provided by the Daily Digest. The title of it is "The Situation is Becoming More Urgent." And it goes on to say, as we move the clock closer to midnight, we are sending a message that the situation is becoming more urgent. Now they've moved the hands, you know, little hands on the 12, the big hands almost on the 12, and the second hand is rushing toward the 12. When they all three congeal at the same time, then that's the doomsday. Now, this is not Bible prediction. It is inadvertently. They don't know what the Bible says about it. The scientists don't know, believe the Bible, looking it up. Bible does say there's a big so-called Third World War coming, and a nuclear. If you want to see what a nuclear explosion does, you don't have to go to the library and look it up in science books. Go to the book of Zechariah, try about chapter 14, right near the end, and you'll have a total description of a nuclear war. God calls it a plague and describes it just like you'd read when the bombs was dropped on Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Japan. And they went in and looked at the results. Those results are just as they are described in the book of Zechariah. A guard standing at a block wall. He couldn't even fall. He was petrified and burnt into the image of his image into the wall. Eyes disappeared out of their sockets. Awful stuff that they found when they looked at those cities where the atom bomb was dropped, described completely in the book of Zechariah. This picture here, though, says the situation is becoming more urgent. We move the clock closer to midnight. And then the clock shows that it is 90 seconds from midnight. Who? The Bible? Well, this is a group that's looking at the world situation. They're looking at Russia being backed into a corner. This week, Mr. Putin over there said, you better remember we got more nukes than anybody else. And statistically right now, they say that Russia has more nukes than America. Is it going to happen? Yeah, I don't know when, but it is. But it is. Man is good at one thing, and that is self-destructing. And yet God is going to allow the consequences of his bad decisions, of his anti-Godism, anti-God's dominion, but he will be under the dominion of the devil for a while before Jesus comes back. The verse we looked at here in verse 14 and 15 in the book of Jude, where Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied and said the Lord was coming back with 10,000 of his saints. Do you know that's what it's going to take to set the world right? Well, it couldn't be soon enough for me and you. You younger folks might say, oh, I need a few more years. Do you think it's going to get better? Are you kidding yourself? It's not. Bible says the evil men, and we're in the day of evil men ruling, that the evil men are going to go worse and worse. My time's up. Now, did that make you feel better? Somebody said, I went to church and he made me feel bad. Well, the truth sometimes is hard to face, but you better know about it. Amen? All right, I knew it was going to be kind of bad this morning, but 776, we're in the summertime with everybody gone, but they said they were coming.